Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome to a new week here on Thinking It Through, and we begin this week with the continuation of a relevant study of the book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature, the kind of literary genre that surfaces when the people of God, the faith community, face trials and tribulation at the hands of secular kingdoms and forces. It is a revelation of the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom over all the kingdoms of man, and in spite of the fierceness of the world's empires, they will be subdued by the awesome power of God's reign over the hearts of men. Here's Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, in part 6 of Facing the Furnace.
Hi folks, welcome again to our presentation of the Book of Daniel, this apocalyptic literature, the Book of Daniel. Last time I spelt out the format that the structure has taken, and that is little blocks like little windows on your landscape A4 page that you have sketched. I just go through that briefly again. You have two columns, more or less, on the first half of the page. The first column is the first block on top. Number two, the king's dream. Below that, the second block. Number three, the fiery furnace. Below that, the fourth block, Nebuchadnezzar's pride. That's a column. Three blocks in a column. Next to that, you have the second column, number seven, Daniel's vision. Number six, Daniel's den. Number five, Belshazzar's pride. You'd have noticed now that the first column runs sequentially from the top to the bottom, 2, 3, and 4. But the second column is the reverse of the first column. So you start with 7 on top, 6 in the middle, and 5 below. If you followed it sequentially, you would start at the top with block number 2, followed by block number 3 below that, and followed by block number 4 below that. That's the column. Then you move next door to block number 4 at the bottom. That's Belshazzar's pride. That's number 5. And on top of that, 6. And on top of that, 7. So if you see the pattern, you begin from the top, you go down, go across, and go up. It's like a maze. You walk through the maze. We do that specifically so that one could see the parallelism, the format in which the book has been constructed. And it's done for a reason. So that in the middle of the two columns, side by side, you have the places of persecution. In the first column, it was the fiery furnace. And the victims there were the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. On the right-hand side column, in the center, number 6, you have Daniel thrown into the lion's den, also a place of persecution. So the place of persecution in the left-hand column is the event just before that, is the king's dream. So the king had a dream. The outcome of that is the fiery furnace, and then Nebuchadnezzar's pride is dealt with after that. When you look at the next column, next to this one, starting with chapter 7, you have Daniel's vision. That's parallel to the king's dream. First you have the king's dream, now you have Daniel's vision, and then Daniel is cast into the lion's den, and then God deals with Belshazzar's pride, just like he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar's pride in the left column. So now we continue. Next to the column, which is number 7, the top one, you draw the same block, and that's Daniel's second vision. Next to that, you have Daniel's prayer, that's number 9, and then you have next to that, Daniel's third vision. And then, of course, you have number 11 and number 12 next to that. So you have the five second half portions spanning the right-hand side of the page, and you have the ones that are before chapter 8 on the left-hand side of the page, basically number 1, the recruited to serve, and then the two columns that start with the king's dream and the king's vision. Now, when we look at what is highlighted in these different scenes, we could call them, you see humans are portrayed in the royal image of God. It falls back on Genesis, man was created in the image of God. So humans are depicted in the royal image of God from Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 2. So this text, just like the book of Revelation, is grounded in Old Testament theology, going back to its roots. And also you find in Psalm 8, reflecting on the glory of God. We read in verse 3 of Psalm 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So we see humans are depicted in Scripture, both in Genesis and in Psalms and in other places, as the royal image of God. But then you find when things go horribly wrong, like we see here in the book of Revelation, then the humans are depicted as beasts in rebellion. Can you believe this? That from being created in the royal image of God, when man falls, he becomes worse than brute beasts. Then he is depicted as beasts in rebellion. That's how it is depicted in the book of Revelation when that rebellion unfolds. Now, maybe it's important to look at the timeline of the events that unfolded in the book of Daniel. There were some contemporaries with Daniel himself when he appeared. The time period was around about 620 before Christ to 535 before Christ. That is when he appeared on the scene and when he ministered. So think back now, roughly between 5 and 600 before Christ, Daniel was on the scene. Just before him, Jeremiah had been prophesying in the kingdom of God on earth in Judah. That was around about 647 before Christ to 580 before Christ. So he actually dovetailed. There was a time that they were more or less appearing at the same time, from around about 620 BC to 580 BC. They overlapped in their ministry. Of course, Ezekiel, the prophet who came after Jeremiah, was towards the end of Daniel's appearance, and that was around about 593 BC to 573 BC. So in the period of around 593 BC to 535 BC, they appeared more or less at the same time. Came at the tail end of Habakkuk and Obadiah. So you'll be able to place Daniel's time period when he appeared according to those indications we have given. Now, how do we partition biblical text? If you look at Luke chapter 15, you will see that you have three stories there of people who have lost things. The one was the man who had 100 sheep. He lost one of them, and then he went after that one, leaving the 99 behind. That was followed by a woman who had 10 silver coins, and she lost one, and then she went searching for that silver coin. And finally, there was the farmer who had two sons, and it's the story of the prodigal son. We call it a trilogy. The trilogy of three instances where things were lost. And you can easily subdivide it. So you can have a block around the sheep, a block around the coin, and a block around the lost sheep. The text itself allows you to separate those three stories, and yet they all need to be seen together. We call it a trilogy. Now, in the book of Daniel, the different portions are also subdivided like that. The purpose of that subdivision is to ultimately, collectively show the sovereignty of God over all nations. Now, you had King Jehoaz, who was in Jerusalem, and he was attacked by King Necho of Egypt. And Eliakim, or Eliakim, depending on how you pronounce his name, he gave way to Jehoiakim. And King Jehoahaz from Jerusalem had gone to Egypt to form a coalition to try, you know, contend with the threat that was coming from Nebuchadnezzar in Jerusalem. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was the one who marched down and besieged Jerusalem and then took the king into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar had made three attacks on Jerusalem. The one was in 605 BC, the other was 598 BC, and then the second time in 598 BC. So altogether, there were three attacks that were made. When we look at the partitioning of the book, we already mentioned that part 1 is from Daniel 1 verse 1 to 2 verse 4a, and part 2 would be from Daniel 2 verse 4b to 7 verse 28, and part 3 would be Daniel 8 verse 1 to Daniel 12 verse 13. As we said already, just recapping now to refresh your memory, the first part was written in Hebrew and it was written about the Jews. It was their history. Second part was written in Aramaic and it was about the Gentiles and the time of the Gentiles. Part three, of course, was back in Hebrew again, written about the Jews, God's plans for Israel. That's all that we will have time for this time. Goodbye.
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 6 of Facing the Furnace, a relevant study of the Book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature. If you have any questions about the Book of Daniel, send it to our email address that will be given at the end of the program. Join us again tomorrow for part 7, same time.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.